Well, good morning again. If you'd like to follow along today, we're going to be in Romans. We're going to be in the book of Romans. And I'm going to take a second just to bump the heat here. Right. Romans chapter 7 is where we're going to start, and we're going to end in chapter 8. Real simple today. Well, our February series is God, I Want to Change. And the basic idea is that a lot of us struggle with some problems that are recurring. And usually there's something inside of ourselves that we want to change and we've been struggling with. And it's kind of like, God, I've been working on this for a long time and I'm ready to get past it. And so I'm going to do just a super quick review. We don't usually do reviews, but I think the message builds, each week builds on itself. So real quick, the first week we said the first step in all true change is repentance. The real problems, any real, true, deep down problem, not shallow problems like I wish I had new siding on my house or I wish I was a little bit better at my job, but all the deep down problems, the problems that plague life, they're all rooted in sin. Every single deep down problem that plagues the world today, that is a recurring problem for our lives, is somehow or another related and completely rooted in sin. And the first step in all true change, according to God, and what God has been calling us to from the beginning of the Bible to the very last chapter, is repentance. It's the first step. And we talked about how repentance literally means we change our mind about something. It literally means that, but it also means so much more. And so finally we said that we found that only God can truly grant repentance. A lot of times we want to, we might think it's a good idea, but if we struggle and struggle, when it comes down to it, God grants repentance. So we prayed that God would grant that. Then last week we talked about in the Bible, very consistent with God's message of repentance is this urgency. And so it's kind of not a thing we talk about a lot today because it's kind of like, you know, with the infomercials and the big commercialization of our culture in this country, Christians don't want to come off like one of those commercials, like buy now, you know, supplies are low, they're running out, you know, you need to jump in quick while you can still get the deal. And we're afraid to sound like that. But of all the things the Bible talks about, it doesn't have urgency tied to all those messages except repentance. God says, now, while I'm moving on your heart today, jump in while God is still granting repentance. So if God is granting repentance, jump on it soon. And we learn that there's an urgency, and repentance has to do with our heart and our mind and our will. And so today we want to get to this. Let's just say you're doing that. God is working on you, and you are walking hand in hand, step by step with the Lord in new, fresh repentance. And you're taking the first steps, starting to see some good fruit, feeling good about the Lord again, putting away some old habits, and you're doing great, and then that old thing rears its head. And you're like, Lord God, I have dealt with this 1,000 times. Will I ever be free from this? I've been struggling, and my friend has been struggling. Some people, they've got past it, but I don't see me getting past it, Lord God. How can I get past it for good? And it's kind of like we won the first battle, but it's more like a war of many battles. And if this sounds like you, here's the verse we're going to start on today. I'm going to just read it real quick and just see if this sounds familiar. Okay, just hear it for a second. Paul said, I do not understand my own actions. I do not do the things I want, but instead I do the very thing I hate. If anything in that resonates, that's what we're going to talk about today. Paul had already repented. He was living a life for the Lord, but he still had that struggle and that ongoing challenge. And so I thought I would open up a little bit like this. Let's just say for a second that you were the king of the world, king of the universe for a second, okay? Jesus loves you. Just for the sake of an example, you were the king of the universe. You loved all of us. You loved the people, okay? and it was kind of all yours. You could kind of do whatever you wanted, but you cared about us. And you saw all of us struggling with this. We want to be close to you, okay? You're ruling the universe. We want to be close to you who's in charge and owns it all. We love you, but we're struggling. What would you want for your people, you know? And in a sense, it's kind of like, just like today, what do you want for your kids or your family or your friends at work? What would you want for them? Would you want them to just, it's on you, buddy? Well, that's, you just got to deal with it. That's the world. If you love them, you'd probably want to help them change, right? And in the same sense, God didn't just set up the world, and yeah, we knew that sin came in the world and it got kind of rough, but he didn't just leave us to our own devices to just deal with it. Because he cares for us, he also provided some help for this very thing. God has been in the business of change and healthy change since the very beginning. And so we're just going to go through what God says in his word today and just pick out very clear, straight from God, not for some preacher or something, but straight from God, what does he have to say about this? And we're going to start in Romans 7, and we're going to talk about today winning the war of change. So in Romans 7, we're going to start about around verse 15, and you can follow along or you can just listen. Okay. So Paul is writing to people who he hopes to be close friends with someday, the church in Rome. He hasn't met them yet, but he's writing this great letter, this long letter. The church has loved the book of Romans ever since. Paul laid it all out, and he answered so many questions that we have, all these struggles that we have, and especially this one big struggle that we have. And if you read any serious commentaries, it always make a big deal about changing from chapter 7 to chapter 8, the very thing we're going to do today, that transition from where Paul was at in 7 to the freedom that he talks about in 8. So Romans chapter 7, verse 15, Paul says this, "I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good." Okay, so in other words, the law says I should do some good things, right? And I want to do those good things, but I keep doing these bad things, and that's not what I want to do. So in other words, I'm on the side of the law. Paul says, I'm on the side of the law. I want to do those good things. So the law is with me, and I'm with the law. Okay. So now, verse 17, "It is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing." And then we want to get here for just now. Verse 20, "Now, if I do what I do not want, then it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." So Paul's saying, man, I want to do good. I heard what the Lord said. It's like I'm on the path. I want everything inside me wants to do it, but I just keep doing the wrong thing. He's like, isn't it? It's crazy. It's like I'm thinking I'm going to do this good, and I still do the bad thing. I don't even have a control over my own self. It's nuts. And it's kind of like there's this war going on inside me. It's almost like there are two voices. Now, I've grown up being a techie in IT pretty much my whole life. And so there was this one movie a while back called iRobot, and it was kind of a tech movie, kind of. And I liked it, right? And there's this savior premises really in it. There's this, like, this idea of a savior almost. And so the background of the movie is basically we've grown in our technology. Now we have robots everywhere. But the robots have gotten really smart, and they're governed by these three laws. Three laws like, I can never hurt a human being, or I can't do nothing if I should help a human being if they might get hurt, and things like that, okay? So there's these laws, just like we have the law here. We have God's law, okay? But something bad happened. The computers kept getting smarter, and they're following the law, and the end result of the law was bad for us. And so there's this one special robot that called Sonny, and so his creator put a different kind of decision-making mechanism inside of him. He's got the one that follows the law, And he has a second one that questions the law and follows what his creator says it should do. So he has two voices inside. And the movie goes on with the main character, Will Smith, kind of learning about this Sonny guy, the Sonny robot, and seeing how he's kind of like us humans. He struggles with, I want to do that, but I can't. It's almost like I have two voices and there is this war going on. And so the truth is, if you're a believer in Christ, we're going to experience the war between the mind, what Paul said here is the inner self, and what he calls the flesh. That doesn't mean that other people don't struggle. Everyone in the world struggles making decisions between two things that they want, okay? I have two appetites. It's like I want to have money, but I also want to buy that thing. It's like you can only have one, so you struggle. But there's this deep down thing that Paul says, if we follow the Lord and he gives us his spirit, there is a spiritual warfare going on where, Lord, I have your spirit. I hear what you want. In my mind, now that I've repented, my mind's like, I want to do that. But my body, this thing, my created nature, it's warring against that. And even though I care about you, Lord, and I'm trying, I keep failing. And I'm just going to experience, I keep experiencing the struggle. And Paul says, even I do that. So this is Paul, the great missionary, right? He's already planted churches. He's already preached in front of all these people that hated him, and he's been punished, and he's been beat up, and he's just kept on going. This is Paul. And he says, even I struggle with that. And so first thing I think it's kind of important just to realize is that Paul's not saying we're going to be perfect here. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we're going to be completely free of the struggle or completely perfect here on earth. But it does say, with God's help, we can begin to win the war. We can win the war. There will always be battles, but we can win the war. So how can I know if I'm winning the war? Since it's not really about perfection, how can I know that I'm winning? Well, I can know that I'm winning the war, that although I'm not perfect, I'm growing in righteousness. And so there is this lifelong struggle that he's talking about. And every time that struggle comes up, we repent again. And the idea is, you know what, Lord, I'm not perfect yet, but I'm not who I was last year. And I'm definitely not who I was 2 years ago, or maybe even last month, because I've been walking with you. And Lord God, you've started this process in me called sanctification. You're basically making me more like your son. And so the goal is not perfection here. The goal is I want to be growing in the Lord. If I want to win, if I want to have true change, I need to see growth. I want to see growth. And so we've kind of been fighting the war this month, right? We've had our fast going on, and we're kind of saying, it's like, whose side am I on? Am I on the side of the Holy Spirit, or am I on the side of my desires and my flesh? And so we're saying, we're taking 21 days to say, you know what? We're going to quiet the voices inside of us that want its own thing. It just wants to be satisfied. We're going to quiet that for a minute. And God, I just want to focus on you because I want to win the war. Because I want true change, Lord. And so Paul sort of lays it out there for us. And then he goes on and he sets up the table here for how we're going to win this war going forward. And so continuing on the end of chapter 7, he says this. So I find it to be a law that even when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. He's like, man, it's like always waiting for me. You see, I delight in the law of God. In my inner being, that's the side I want to win. But I see the members of my body, I see in the members of my body another war, another law, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me captive to the law of sin that dwells in me. And if you've ever had one of those habits, if you've ever been in a terrible cycle that you just cannot get out of, maybe it's a family cycle, right? Maybe it's you started when you were young, and it's still been plaguing you to this day. And even when you've tried to get out, you can't. It kind of feels like you're a captive, doesn't it? It feels like I'm helpless. This thing has more power than I do. And Paul finally sort of gets to the point where he says, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And then he answers his own question right away. He says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then this is how it's going to be. I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So he said, that's the bad news. Here comes the good news. I want to win. And then he flips over to chapter 8. And your Bibles, there might be a heading on there. So something like this. It might say, life in the Spirit, or our new life. Or really, it's like the life that we want to get to. And we're going to do about 10 verses here, and then we're going to walk through Paul's points together. So he says, there's therefore now no condemnation. He's like, if you've been struggling, you don't have to feel guilty about it. As long as you're taking an active part, don't feel guilty. That's not the point. You do not have to feel guilty for the war. We all have it. As long as you are, for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Well, Lord, I don't feel free. What's going on? How does that work? Verse 3. See, God has done what the law, weakened by our flesh, could not do. He sent his Son in the image of sinful flesh, and he did it for sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh. So I have a little confession to make here. Last week I was in court, all right? So I was heading home one night, and I was coming back from WAPOC, back here to the lake, and I get pulled over. And I'm kind of like, oh, man, is I speeding? What's going on? So the officer, you know, like, sits behind you for 10 minutes, so you sweat for a while, I think, right? I'm sitting there sweating. Finally comes up, and he's like, pulled you over because you were speeding. You were doing 48 and 35. I'm like, oh, no. So he's like, give me all your papers. He does his thing, gives me the ticket. And I'm like, I'm so bummed. So I go home. I tell Lisa, I'm like, honey, I was like a mile from our house, and I got the speeding ticket. And so we're talking about it, and she's like, I don't think there's a speed limit there. I'm like, the way we were looking, I looked at my rearview mirror, and I could see that it said 35 miles per hour. I mean, it feels like it got me. She's like, well, why don't you just go check? So I drove back there, and sure enough, one way, it says 35, but the other way, there's no speed limit. So the way I was going, there was no sign, and the way the officer was coming, he saw the sign. He's like, well, that guy's speeding, right? So I'm like, oh, I could just pay it and be done. I don't know, maybe I could go fight the man, right? Maybe I could go stand for justice or something. So I thought I would, I've never been to court. I thought I would just do the thing, see what it's like. Sometimes people complain, so I go to court. So here's what I thought it would happen. Take a half day off work. I go on the right date. I thought I would sort of like plead my case. Well, I didn't know that the first time you go, that's arraignment. In other words, that's just a scheduling meeting. So it's like there's like 50 people in the room. Everybody gets up there. Guilty, not guilty, no contest. Guilty, not guilty, no contest. So I get up there and I say, they're like, how do you plead? Not guilty? Okay, go see the guy and we'll tell you when to come to court. I'm like, I took a half day off work for this? I'm just ignorant. I didn't know. So my day in court finally comes and explain. And the officer had already gone back and redriven the road. And he says, you're right. And they dropped it. But the idea is, when you break the law, whether it's something as simple as a speed limit or if someone ran over your grandma's foot, whenever something bad happens, right, the law says, I now require something of you for justice. And if I had broken the law, and if I stood before the judge, he's going to say, if you're guilty, the law requires this to happen, a certain punishment, something must be paid, right? And so Paul's saying, here's me. I've got this body of sin racking up all these things that the law is now requiring of me. And every day I strive to walk with the Lord, but I keep messing up. And now I owe and I owe and I owe the Lord. I owe because of the law that he gave. But he says, thanks be to God. He sent Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who never broke the law. Instead, he came like us, still had flesh just like us, still had desires. He was still thirsty like you're thirsty, right? He still loved to indulge in food, but he never did. He still loved to maybe just be lazy all day, but he never did. He spent his whole life with the same desires and tastes that we did and temptations, but he never sinned, not even once. And now him being completely innocent, he went to the cross for us instead of us, so he paid everything that the law required. Now that requirement is satisfied. There's no more guilt now. Okay? I'm going to mess up tomorrow. Okay? But that's been taken care of. If. There's still an if. There's an if that takes care of that, and there's an if that's going to help me be more and more set free from that and win the war. And Paul gives us three things. So the key to winning is, let's see what Paul says. So he sent his son in the flesh, and he did what the flesh could not do. Okay. And so sin was then condemned in his flesh. Now verse 4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law would be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So number one, super simple. Everyone already knows this. The key to winning is first, walking not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, be a doer. Okay? You don't even need the Bible for this. We have this sort of shallow, like, change your habit stuff in any self-help book in any bookstore. But the truth is, it is still one of the keys to winning the war. You have to be a doer. That's just fundamental. So if I say I want to stop overeating, but I just keep overeating and I don't change anything, I'm never ever going to win, right? It's just fundamental. And so if we say I'm not going to go into that sin, I'm not going to explode in my anger anymore, there should be some sort of trying. There should be some sort of change somewhere. I should be a doer, if nothing else. If I don't get any further than that, I should at least try to be a doer. So Paul says, man, if you want to break that struggle that you've been in, and number one, just change what you're doing. If you need to replace on the bad with something good, whatever it is, don't just not do the bad, replace with something good. Okay? It's like I want to break my habit of gossip. Okay. So number one, and even though this is just the first battle, not only am I not going to gossip about that person that did me wrong, right? Not only am I not going to do that, but instead, I'm going to walk according to the Spirit. Instead, I'm going to do something good. Instead, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to say nothing. I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to replace the bad with something good. So fundamental, first step, I'm going to walk. I'm going to live. I'm going to do according to what God says. So whatever that bad was, first thing, I'm going to change the doing from the bad to the good. Moving on. Number one, I'm going to do what the Spirit says. Number two, for those who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, what do? They set their minds on the things of the Spirit. He says, you see, to set your mind on the flesh, that's death, but to set your mind on the Spirit, that's life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. In fact, it cannot do that. But those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Number two, I'm going to set my mind on the things of the Spirit. Kind of like that chocolate cake thing, right? It's like, all right, Lord, you gave me this body. It ain't awesome, but it's mine, right? And I'm going to take a little bit better care of it, okay? I'm going to not indulge in food. I'm just going to keep picking on this because it's just like super shallow, right? So not only am I going to change what I'm doing a little bit, but if I went out to the grocery and bought all the healthy food and got rid of all the bad food in my house, if I sat there in my chair just thinking about chocolate cake, I'm just setting myself up for failure. It's as simple as that. Or if you have got a grudge or something, and even though you're like acting nice to that person as you grit your teeth, but in your mind, you just keep rolling over all the things they did to you, and you won't let it go in your mind, you're never going to win that war. Never, ever. So we don't think according to the flesh. Now I'm going to replace that, not just don't do the bad, but replace it with what the Spirit would want us to do. Lord God, I don't just want to be a little bit better today. I want to win this war. I'm tired of the struggle, Lord. Okay, number two, I'm going to change my thinking. You know what? I've wronged that person. I'm just going to start thinking about, man, what is their point of view? Maybe they just have a really tough time right now. Or, you know what? Maybe I don't want to be lazy around the house anymore, so I'm going to try to do some more things, but also I'm going to start thinking different. I'm going to think about, how can I can I bless my family today? Not like, well, I'm just doing all the things I have to do because that's what a good husband does or a good father does. I'm going to change my thinking too. I'm going to say, no, you know what? Lord, how can I bless my family today? Or maybe I'm at work. How can I be the best worker ever? Lord, what's the next step for me at work? You know? And maybe it might not have nothing to do with your actual work. Maybe it has something to do with just how you treat your coworkers or maybe showing up early or whatever it is. But just changing even how you think about things and honoring God, even how you think about people and the things that we do. Here's a good one. You know what? Lord, I want to honor you with my money. So I've stopped overspending. You know, I've started being generous. You know, I help my neighbor with something. Okay, but even my thinking, you know what? I'm not gonna scroll and do fake shopping on the internet. I'm not gonna put those things in front of my eyes, those things I don't need. I'm not even gonna think about that. Instead, I'm gonna think about how can I bless people? Maybe I'm gonna spend more time with the Lord. Maybe I'm gonna look up on the internet ways to help my friend fix his problem. How can I be generous instead? I'm gonna replace the old thinking with the new thinking, something that would please the Spirit of God. So that's kind of like fundamental number one and number two, but really, we can kind of get these two steps anywhere, right? What Paul is really going for, he's setting us up for number three, right? So someone who wants to change, everyone tries number one. People who are pretty good at change, they do number one and they get to number two, right? They put up the posters of the motivation of the things they do want to do. But here's where Paul wants to get you. Verse 9, chapter 8, verse 9. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, if that same Spirit's in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And that's what we want. He's not saying, I want to have your body live forever. He's saying, I want to give you this life, all the good and fullness of life. I want to free you from the death path and put you on the life path. Number three, the key to winning is this. God's Spirit lives in me, and I walk in his presence. We could do all the try-hard stuff that we ever could think of, everything we could do and think about. We can have all that try-hard stuff. But without the Spirit of God, there are some things that we're never going to conquer. If this is truly about sin, there's some things we're never going to conquer without God's Spirit and his Holy Spirit in our life. So how do we do it? We talked about repentance already, and it's like, Lord God, I give my life to you, and I'm devoted to you. I'm leaving the old. I've decided on you. I've got that first step, and God grants his Spirit. How do I live with his Spirit in me? How do I keep that presence? Well, it's kind of like any way that you would warm up any relationship with anyone that you love. So let's take, for example, you wake up in the morning. Lord God, I want to give this day to you. Maybe it's a simple prayer. I want to go to work today. Or I'm going to be with the kids today. And Lord, whatever it is, it's all for you. So God sees you down there. And you're starting to walk with him today. You're starting to live with him today. Hey, this is someone I can use. This is someone who I'm going to bless today, who I can take care of today, who I'm going to use them to bless someone else today. All right? And then the day goes on a little bit, and I'm thinking about how I can live for you today, Lord. I'm putting away the old habits. Holy Spirit, guide me, okay? And maybe you've gone on all morning long, and you're half the way through, and you've already yelled at the kids. You've already messed up at work. You've already did something wrong. You're starting to get back in there, and you remember, oh, I've gotten away from you, Lord. I was just spending the day on myself. I've forgotten. Okay, I'm going to repent. Lord, I'll come back to you now. I'm putting that back. Holy Spirit, I need you. Or maybe you got to the point where you started to make a big decision in life where it's like, how I'm going to spend my money, what I'm going to do with my time, how I'm going to treat someone. It's like, oh, Lord, I'm just doing my own thing. It's like, I totally forgot about you. I say, Lord God, that you're my king. And I say that I love you and I'm living for you, but I was kind of just doing my own thing. I'm going to stop again. I'm going to recalibrate. Lord, what do you want? And just think about it. If you were the Lord up there and you're looking down and someone's like, God, I'm with you today. I'm with you in everything. how much more would you give your Holy Spirit to that person, right? How much more would you bless that person that's like, I'm with you, no matter what it takes. If it's hard, if it's easy, then God will start to peel away the hard layers and give us more and more of the guidance and the fresh insight. It's like you start to read your Bible, and it's like, Lord, whatever you say, I'm open to whatever you say today. And he gives you a little bit of revelation. You see something you never saw before, right? Or you're like, Lord, I'm with you today no matter what, and you're out in the world, and God uses your friend to guide you, like on something you've been asking the Lord about, and he uses someone. It's like, oh, it's like new life. It's like I asked and you answered. I'm not just living and calling myself a Christian. You're answering, Lord. And it's that spending the whole day with the Lord every day. It's like morning, noon, night, wherever I go, if we truly say that we've given our lives to the Lord, it's not just a cliche saying. We've actually want to walk all day, every day with the Lord. And as you do that, and as God starts to use you more and more, as God starts to clean house a little bit more and more, you won't even remember some of those old battles anymore. You'd be so busy living for the Lord and experiencing the next victory and experiencing how God wants to use you, some of those old battles are just going to start fading away. And Paul says, there's victory, even in our flesh. We're always going to have a war somewhere along the lines, but there's victory for those who live in the Spirit and have the Spirit in them. Man, that's what God wants. He wants to be with you all day long. He wants your heart. It's kind of like, I remember when my first time I ever married someone, the only time I ever married someone was my cousin. And I always like to say I married my cousin. Yeah, just to give people a hard time. So my cousin and her fiance, I was like, so why do you guys want to get married? You know, it's like that initial thing where the pastor's kind of a jerk, like the first session to see if you're really in it, right? I said, so why do you want to get married? And they're both like, just want to be together all the time. That's exactly what it is. It's like, Lord, I don't want to be with you all the time. He already wants to be with us all the time. It's kind of like, okay, let's get married but not live in separate rooms. Lord, let's get married, and I want to be with you all day, every day. And I'm actually going to live my life. I'm going to treat my friends the way. And in fact, all my relationships with my friends, Lord God, you're there too. All my relationships at work, you're there too. I just know that you're walking with me. Everywhere I go, you're there too. And that's how I'm going to act and live from now on. So the key to winning is three things. Paul says, man, if you want to go from chapter 7 in Romans, where it's just like, all I know is the struggle and it's plaguing my mind, I feel terrible about it, to the chapter 8, Paul lays out right away these first three things. Walk according to the Spirit. In other words, be a doer. Set your mind on the things of the Spirit. And if the Spirit lives in you, you'll have victory. If the Spirit lives in you. It's like, God, I want your Spirit all day, every day. So here's this week's challenge. What can I do to live this week? Number one, I'm going to find one Bible passage to put my mind on the Spirit, maybe in the thing I'm struggling with. Maybe I am struggling with a relationship with a friend, and I'm not sure how to react to my friend. You know what? I'm going to seek the Lord on this. I'm not just going to say I wish it was better. I'm not just going to hope that God wins the battle for me. I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm just going to find a verse, some sort of passage. I don't know anything. You could Google search it and find Bible verses. But I'm going to get something so that I'm engaging my mind, I'm engaging what I'm doing, and I'm going to use it again and again. I'm at least going to win this battle at least one time this week, Lord. I'm just not going to call myself a Christian. I'm going to try to be a doer, Lord. And I'm going to win at least one battle for you this week, Lord. That's the challenge. So if you would, I want to invite everyone to stand as we close here. Just a reminder, when we're all done, if you would push all the chairs to the back of the room along the wall, that would be a huge help so we can get ready for family movie night. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much, God, for your help. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and your word. Lord, every person here struggles with something. We know that life is largely a struggle, but that it is not without help, Lord God. Thank you so much, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God, that you care for us, that you are the King of the universe and you do care. And you are in the business of change. Lord, I pray everyone here just goes home with hope that whatever their struggle is right now at this time in life, that there is hope to win the battle and win the war. Lord, I pray you'd give us all just the accountability and the stick-to-itiveness to walk with you all day today, all day tomorrow, and live that life. Thank you so much, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.